Okay. So hello, everybody. Welcome to our January 11th, 2021 commission meeting. It's now 5:01 by my watch. I'd like to call our meeting to order. It's good to see everybody. Glad everybody could join us tonight. So let's do roll call, Danielle.
Commissioner Hitt.
Here.
Commissioner Hollingsworth.
Here.
Commissioner Hurt.
Here.
Commissioner Merritt.
Here.
Commissioner Mielke.
Here.
Vice Chair Reynolds.
Here.
Chair McMillan.
Here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel. All right, so we have a call to audience at this time. Do we have any blue cards, any speakers from the public?
No, we do not, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. We'll close that part of our meeting. Move into our regular session agenda. Before we get started, I'd like to announce that we're going to move our agenda slightly from what it was posted. I thought for continuity and ease of discussion, we would move our finance subcommittee report, which is item 10A, to right after item 6. We'll hear from our finance subcommittee right before we have water rates analysis discussion, which is item 7. Okay, so let's start with agenda item number 1, review and approval of the November 9th, 2020 regular session meeting minutes. Do I have any comments or questions from any commissioners on those minutes? Remember to unmute yourself if you want to speak.
I'll move approval.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. Motion of approval by Commissioner Mielke, a second by Commissioner Hurt. Any further comments, questions? All right, let's have a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Hitt.
Approved.
Commissioner Hollingsworth?
Yes, approved.
Commissioner Hurt?
Yes.
Commissioner Merritt?
Yes.
Commissioner Mielke?
Yes.
Vice Chair Reynolds?
Yes.
Chair McMillan?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Thank you very much, Danielle. Okay, moving on. We have the pleasure tonight to welcome our new Commissioner Greg Hitt. And we also have the pleasure of welcoming to our meeting our new town council liaison, Timothy Bowen. I was wondering if those two gentlemen wouldn't mind if they could take a minute and maybe give us a small update on themselves, just so we get to know them a little bit better.
Sure, I'll go first. So I'm Greg Hitt. I've been in Oral Valley for, I don't know, about 8 years now. I've served with Charlie in the past on the Planning and Zoning Commission I did 4 years on there. I think he did 4 years as well. And haven't done anything town-wise for probably about 2 years now. My day job, I work for Pima County. I've had several jobs or positions within the county in different departments, including development services, wastewater, and now I'm in public works in the project management office. I've done a variety of things from rezonings, land development kind of proposals and projects to sewer infrastructure projects. And now in my new position, or my current position, which I've had for a couple of years, I'm the utility coordinator for the county. And one of the projects I'm doing along with some of the others, I still have some wastewater projects. We're doing some conveyance lines and things like that, infrastructure upgrades and improvements. But one of the other things I'm doing that's probably more pertinent to this group is we're actually forming a water district. The county owns about 4.5 sections of land just south of I-10 off Houghton. It's the fairgrounds area, as it's otherwise known. And so we're in the process right now of actually forming a water district. We've established the DWID, the Domestic Water Improvement District, and now we're just going through the process with the ADWR to actually get it permitted and get the water rights established to the district. So that's kind of my background and what I'm doing.
Thank you very much.
I actually worked with Byron as well when he was in wastewater several years ago.
Way back in the day.
Yep.
So, believe it or not, it's been 5 years already.
Time goes fast.
Time flies. So thank you very much. That's very interesting. Councilmember Bowen, could we hear from you?
Thank you, Commissioner McMillan. My name is Timothy Bowen, and my background is in aerospace engineering. I worked at Raytheon for quite a long time in Los Angeles, and I moved out to Oral Valley for an opportunity to work at the Honeywell facility that you guys see there on Oracle. The real benefit of getting a job at Honeywell wasn't necessarily the company, but it was the opportunity to live in Oral Valley. I knew nothing about Oral Valley before I moved here. I'd been to Tucson many times, down by the airport and over on the west side, and I couldn't believe my luck. I get to live here and be a couple of miles from work. Regarding my previous experience, I've been a commissioner, and I really appreciate what commissioners do. I was on the Historic Preservation Commission from 2017 to 2019, and it's wonderful because we need to hear from more residents. You know, we can hear from the council, we hear from staff, and we hear from people that attend the meetings, but commissioners perform, in my view, a really important role. They get involved at a higher level, they get involved at a detailed level, and it really gives us, in my opinion, a larger sample to hear from about what's going on in the town and what people feel about what's going on in the town. So I really do appreciate your efforts enough that, you know, I had the role myself for a few years, and I really hope to be able to help you guys out and give you some insight as to what's going on at council recently so that you guys get that information to help you in your decision-making. So thank you, Commissioner McMillan.
All right, thank you. Good to get to know you guys a little bit better. Okay, so we'll move on to our next agenda item, which is nomination and election of Water Utility Commission Chair, effective January 12th, 2021. January of every year, we have an election for chair and vice chair, so that's what we're doing now, and I will take nominations from anybody who would like to make a nomination on chair.
I'd like to nominate Commissioner Hurt.
Okay. Commissioner Hurt has been nominated by Commissioner Mielke for chair. Do we have a second on that?
Second.
Okay. Commissioner Hollingsworth has seconded the motion. Do we have any discussion or any further motions? Okay, that being the case, we'll call for a roll call vote on that.
Commissioner Hitt?
Yes.
Commissioner Hollingsworth?
Yes.
Commissioner Hurt?
Yes.
Commissioner Merrick?
Yes.
Commissioner Mielke?
Yes.
Vice Chair Reynolds?
Yes.
Chair McMillan?
Yes. Thank you, Daniel.
Chair McMillan, can I say something?
Sure.
Well, first of all, thank you for your service as the commission chair in 2020. You did an excellent job, and it was very gracious of you to say, you know, maybe give someone else a shot at it. But you were an excellent chair, and you really come up to be quite an advocate for the water utility and a wonderful representative of the community's interests in their water utility. So you did an excellent job as a chair. It was a pleasure, and would welcome it again. So thank you.
Thank you very much. It's been my honor and privilege.
Chairman McMillan?
Do we have another commenter?
Yeah. Charlie Hurt.
Yeah.
Commissioner Hurt. Choose to fill in terms of being a chair. You've been a wonderful chair, and I only hope that I can do as well as you have. But thank you to the rest of the commissioners for putting your faith in me, at least for the next year, and I hope I will not abuse that.
I'm sure they will keep you in line.
I'm sure they will.
Okay, thank you very much for those comments. Let's move on to our next agenda item, which is a time to fill the vice chair of the commission. So again, I'll open this up for nomination of anyone who would like to make a nomination on vice chair.
I would like to nominate Tom Merrick for vice chair.
Do we have a second on that?
Second.
Commissioner Hurt, was that you?
Well, I think there were doubles, but yes, I did second. I think Rick also seconded.
Okay.
I did, yes.
Okay, so we have a motion by Commissioner Hollingsworth and a second by Commissioner Hurt, I guess I'll say. Do we have any other comments or motions on this? Okay. Let's have a roll call vote on having Commissioner Merrick as our vice chair.
Commissioner Hitz?
Yes.
Commissioner Hollingsworth?
Yes.
Commissioner Hurt?
Yes.
Commissioner Merrick?
Yes.
Commissioner Milkey?
Yes.
Vice Chair Reynolds?
Yes.
Chair McMillan?
Yes. Thank you, Danielle. Okay, so that was quick and easy. Thank you for our two volunteers to serve those important roles. Let's move on to you, unless we have other comments.
No, I would just like to say also thank you to Commissioner Reynolds for his past year services as a vice chair. So thank you, and we look forward to doing that again.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Peter. Tom, I passed you the torch, Tom. I can tell you that if you have a chair that is together as Chair McMillan has been for the past year, you don't get to do much. But you're always in the on-deck circle. So.
Well, I'd like to thank everybody for their confidence, particularly after just leading three meetings with the finance subcommittee. So I appreciate that, and I will definitely lean on all the experience that's here in front of me. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you, guys. You're all a pleasure to work with. Okay, so let's go on to our next agenda item, which is filling our commission subcommittee positions. I believe right now we have the finance subcommittee staffed by Commissioner Merrick as the current chair and Commissioner Milkey and Commissioner Hollingsworth. And then the Water Resources and Conservation Subcommittee is myself as chair and Commissioner Hurt. And we had Commissioner Merrick. He sort of left us, but I guess he's still part of us. Anyway, we need to figure out who is going to fill those roles in this year. So we have seven commissioners and we have six positions. So does anybody have any comments or insights on either one of those subcommittees? Is everyone happy with where they are and would like to continue?
Yes.
Chair McMillan, I think we have what we have two. So the finance subcommittee, then we have our three members with Merrick as chair and Commissioner Hollingsworth and Commissioner Milkey, and they're happy there. And we have Commissioner with Chair McMillan in the Water Resources and Conservation Subcommittee as the chair, and we're looking to fill two positions and we have three people. So Commissioner Reynolds sat out in 2020, so graciously. So, you know, I think he should get kind of first dibs if he wants to be on that subcommittee, but, you know, I just want to help facilitate the discussion on that. Let me ask you, is there anybody that's on a subcommittee that maybe that can't make the time for it in 2021? Or so it sounds like everybody can. I guess, does anybody want to sit out 2021? Okay.
Okay, so let me ask a question. Is there anybody who's not currently on the finance subcommittee that would really like to be on that subcommittee? Okay. So I've been working on the Water Resources Committee now for several years, and I'm perfectly willing to take a break from that subcommittee. So if the other two commissioners that aren't currently serving that position would like to, then that would work for me.
And Mr. Chair?
I would like to volunteer to be on the Water Resources Subcommittee.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Commissioner Hitt?
And being the new guy here, I can sit out. I should have probably said something, you know, a moment ago, when it was, but I can sit out. That's not a big deal. Or I can participate either way.
Well, I'd like to propose that Commissioner Hitt, Commissioner Reynolds, and Commissioner Hurt serve on the Water Resources Subcommittee, and I'll take a break since I've been doing that for several years now. I think it's important for Commissioner Hitt to come up to speed as soon as possible on water utility issues, so serving on that subcommittee is a good way to do that. So if that works for everyone, which I think it does, are the finance subcommittee commissioners good with having Commissioner Merrick continue as the chair?
That's fine with me. Yeah.
Commissioner Hollingsworth?
Sorry, I was muted. Yes.
Okay. All right, good. So looks like Commissioner Merrick will stay the chair of the Finance Subcommittee. And do we have anyone who would just has a burning desire to be the chair of the Water Resources Subcommittee? Is there anyone who would like to volunteer to be the chair of the Water Resources Subcommittee?
Chairman McMillan, this is Charlie Hurt. I would recommend that Rick Reynolds be the chair of this committee. He knows the area, he knows what's going on, and he is the senior member of the three people amongst us who would make up that particular subcommittee. I would suggest that Rick be the chair.
Okay. I'm good with that. I volunteer to serve as the chair for the Water Resources Subcommittee.
Okay. Commissioner Hitt, are you good with that?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Okay. I think we've reached a consensus, and so I think everyone knows which committee they're serving on now and who's the chair. So if we're all good, we'll move on to our next agenda item. Any final questions, comments on that? Okay. Thank you very much. All right. Let's go to item 6, which is discussion and possible action on 2021 Water Utility Commission work plan. And I think Peter's going to brief us on that.
Yeah, thank you. Can we share the screen on that? Were we prepared for that?
We have the presentations up. We don't have this one up yet. I can prepare it right now.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. So, you know, every year we prepare a work plan, and it's a living document. It's just to help guide us. There's several items that are just business as usual. Every year, we have water rates. We have an annual report, and that's just going to automatically take up some time. But we do have space in there to bring up new items. So a lot of it's updates. You know, this year we're going to be providing more updates on our Northwest Recharge Recovery and Delivery System, our partnered portion, our independent portion. But there is there is room to move things around or to add things. So if we can look at that, we could have a discussion. Typically, every year, I like to program in a field trip in the spring with maybe a guest speaker in the fall. You know, this we'll have to see how this spring goes. As you remember, last spring we had to cancel our field trip, but we'll see. If we can't have one this year, there's plenty of work to be done that we could fill that space in. Are we able to share the screen on the work plans so everybody could see it? And I'm sorry, my staff, if I caught you off guard on that one.
May I suggest, Peter, that if we can't have a field trip in the spring, maybe we could reverse it and have that in the fall and the guest speaker in the spring.
Sure.
We're pulling that up right now.
Okay, yeah, thank you, Danielle. Christian, sorry about that. I should have mentioned that beforehand that we might want to be able to see that so we can discuss it.
There it is.
There we go. So, you know, looking at, you know, I think the first few months here are probably pretty much locked up. You know, we need to start working on our water utility annual report. Next month, we'll be asking the commission to make action on the proposed water rates. We'll provide an update on our partnered and independent NWRRDS. Could you slide it down, Christian?
There it is.
Keep going. So March, oh, there we go. Update, discussion, and action on the water utility annual report. So we need to render this report to council in April. So that's an action item for us. So we have some work to do in February and March. We'll give an update and discussion on the well field and the condition of the aquifer. This is the new item here, and we'll dive deeper into this. It's a discussion and on a possible IGA with Metro Water and Marano Water to expand our NWRRDS partnership. And we'll go into greater detail on that at that time. As we've gone through this project together, we see where there's an opportunity for additional economies of scale and saving money for everybody if we were to expand our partnership. have a possible tour set up for April, or maybe that'd be a good time to have a guest speaker if we're still not able to get together as a group. In May, let's see, you know, here again, typically every year we give an update on our conservation program. We're thinking we might be ready for action on a future IGA with Metro Water and Marana. June, you know, is talk about our 10-year water resource utilization plan. This is something I started 3 years ago where we talk about, you know, what is our what is our plan for utilizing water resources now? And if we were to see, you know, curtailments and deliveries, also talk about our 10-year CAP wheeling and delivery plan. Of course, wheeling is through Tucson Water. Delivery would be NWRRDS. And what is our plan of attack for that? We share that with the commission. We have discussion on that. Also, you know, we talk about canceling our July commission meeting. Typically, summer break, give folks a chance to go on vacation. August, we give an update on water quality And I thought we'd have that'd be a good time to discuss our water reclaimed usage and entitlement. Some of these things, for the veteran commissioners, they've been there, done that. And, you know, they know the story, but we have a new council liaison and a new commissioners. So we're going to, you know, back up a little bit and give some of that historical context that makes further discussion more meaningful. Also, you know, quarterly, we give an update on water resources and our capital improvement program. And then every 6 months, we give an update, give a financial report, you know, typically at the end of the fiscal year and halfway through the current fiscal year. September is slated for a guest speaker, or maybe that will be when we take our field trip. And then, boom, before we know it, it's October. Now we're talking water rates analysis, you know, and cost of service. And then another, we have it slated for another update and discussion on our partnered and independent Northwest Recharge Recovery Delivery System project and staff reports. And then in November, we're heavy duty into water rates analysis, rate setting, cost of service. Probably a good time to, you know, have a discussion on CAP water supply. We'll have a good feeling of what the winter looked like and what that hydrology was looking like. And we can talk about what the future looks like for that near term and long term. And that's one of the things we discussed is possibly canceling our December meeting. So that's just kind of how we have it laid out right now. It's a living document, a working document. And if the commissioners have something that I haven't really touched on specifically or would like to dive a little deeper in, please let's discuss it. And we might not figure out today where we'll put it in the work plan, but we will work it in the work plan. With that, I'll hand it back to you, Chair McMillan. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Okay, so as Peter said, this is a living document. So does anybody have any comments or questions on this and any suggestions for changes or additions?
I have one topic I think it might be good to take up. We've been operating with a target for groundwater pumping of the 5,200 odd acre feet per year for quite a long time. It's been around as long as I've been on the commission, and that's a scary long time. So I was wondering if it might be, I was triggered by the fact that we just finished a year with a record low rainfall, and the rainfall in this area is what we count on to replenish the aquifer. So I was wondering if we ought to start the process of reexamining whether that is still a valid number to use for a target on groundwater pumping, or whether it might need some revision. And we may decide we have to wait a few years to see what happens with climate and rainfall over that time. The interesting thing is we do have options to adjust by simply bringing in a little more CAP water. The costs are probably the major impact because the water is there. We have the, I don't imagine it's going to be a huge area, but it may be a few hundred acre feet a year that would need to be adjusted. So at some point in the coming year, we might want to start that discussion. And I was thinking possible openings for it would be either in March or June. I think we ought to get through the examination of the aquifer and the well field first, and then consider going on with that. And to get an answer may take a few years. I'm not at the moment suggesting we spend money on an engineering study or a hydrology study, but just that we look at what we think we might need to do in the future.
You know, Commissioner Mielke, that's a great suggestion. That study you're referring to was prepared or conducted in 2007. And the overreaching goal, it was very aggressive at the time on what the goal was to get our groundwater pumping level to. And, you know, we achieved that with the commissioning of our Oracle and Hardy wheeling station. So, you're right. I think it's a good time. We should revisit that. And let's do some new goal setting. So we can definitely work that some, that, and that'll be some meaningful work for the Water Resources Subcommittee too. Yeah, great comment. Danielle, if you could make a note on that, that we'll work in there, you know, like a revisiting, a reevaluation of the aquifer metrics or something like that. Thank you.
Great suggestion. Any other comments, questions on the work plan? I had one comment. Spoke with Peter recently about this. As Commissioner Mielke just noted, we just had the driest, hottest summer on record in 2020 in Arizona. I think we had about the half the normal rainfall in the Tucson area. And I checked the Colorado snowpack data today, and I think the drought is continuing in Colorado as well. So far this winter, snowpack is around 80-85% of normal in most locations. I think from some of our previous discussions about the Lake Mead levels and what implication that has for water users, I think it was a consensus among most of the professionals that Peter's talked to that we probably will experience some sort of phase one water shortage occurring unless something drastically changes climate-wise, probably in the next few years. So anyway, with all that being said, I was talking to Peter about the possibility of simply preparing what I would call a white paper for the water utility that would simply lay out information for whoever's interested, be it staff or water commission members or the general public, that would lay out all the information that you would want to know about what happens in Arizona if there is a phase one water shortage declared, and then what ultimately impact that would have on Oro Valley Water Utility, if any, and what the utility has already been doing these many years to prepare for something like that. And I also just actually today by chance pulled up a document that was created by the city of Mesa where they pretty much did the exact thing I'm talking about. And that was in 2018, they laid out a white paper where they discuss what that city plans to do if they have a water shortage. And they actually went through all of the phases, not just a phase one. And I think it's a really interesting idea for our water utility to possibly produce something along those lines as well. And that way, when and if we have a phase one water shortage and Peter finds a newspaper reporter or television reporter sitting in his office the next day asking what he's going to do about it, then he'll have a document he can just hand them and say, this is what we've been doing about it for the last 10 years. And here's what we're going to do. And these are the impacts that we're going to have. So anyway, my only suggestion is possibly the water utility developing some sort of white paper on this topic, and then the commission maybe having some sort of review and input on it before it's finalized.
Great comment, Chair McMillan. So Danielle, could you just make a note? So we do have a water resource utilization plan, and it's kind of a guiding document for us on what happens and when it happens and what is our resource portfolio. You know, when do we use the resources we've been storing for decades plus? So maybe Chair McMillan, would you imagine or could that something for public consumption maybe? Because these are like policy guidelines that we have that kind of direct us on that, you know, how much water we store, where we store it, when we're going to recover it, and or if we even need to. So when we look at something that's just easier to consume for our customers, basically.
Yeah, I mean, as we all know, water policy and water law and the whole shooting match is extremely complicated and hard to understand. So if we had something a lot more straightforward for public consumption, I think that would go a long way.
So Danielle, could you just make a note, like a user-friendly water resource utilization plan during shortage or something like that? Yeah, great comments. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions, comments on the work plan? Okay. Thank you very much, Peter.
Thank you, Chair McMillan. Thank you, commissioners.
Okay, so we're going to now move to Finance Subcommittee report before we move into item 7, which is discussion on water rates.
I will be happy to offer a report, Chair McMillan. The subcommittee met in November and December. We reviewed and commented on several pro formas. We started off with 4. We took a deep dive in 2 of those, and in another one, we took a further deep dive, and we reached a consensus on the water rates analysis and will recommend to the commission body to recommend it rate increases for potable water monthly base rates, potable water commodity rates, this is tiers 1 through 4, commercial and master metered multifamily, and the reclaimed water commodity rate. We're not recommending changes for construction commodity rate, potable groundwater preservation fee, reclaimed groundwater preservation fee, and reclaimed base rates. Additionally, the Finance Subcommittee reviewed the Mayor and Council water policy, A-2 sub A little 3, and we'll recommend to the commission body to leave the policy as it is. I think that the staff is going to report out on very specific details. That's all I really had for an update, unless the other commissioner, the other committee, subcommittee chairs had anything further that I may have missed.
Okay, any other comments on that? All right, thank you very much for that update, Commissioner Merrick. Okay, so we can move to item 7, which is update and discussion on water rates analysis. Mary and Peter.
And thank you. Before Mary starts, this is really for the benefit of Commissioner Hitt and Council Liaison Bowen. We went over this in November of 2020. And so we're just going to take a little step back and give some context really to the deep dive. We're going to go into this subject in February. In February, we're going to go into a lot more detail, maybe not the level that we go into at the subcommittee, but enough detail that the commission body should have all the information they need to make a recommendation to council. Tonight, we're setting the stage and the context for that deeper dive discussion in February. So with that, Mary, we take it away.
Okay, thank you. On the next slide, please. So our outline for the discussion, I'll start with the purpose, and then we'll go into the water rate analysis goals, the water rate analysis assumptions for the general fund and the water fund, and the finance subcommittee consensus and the water rates analysis schedule. Next slide. And so the purpose of the water rates analysis is in accordance with the mayor and town council water policies and states that an annual review of the revenue requirements and water rates is performed to ensure the long-term financial health of the water utility. Functions of the Oro Valley Water Utility Commission include reviewing and developing recommendations for water revenue requirements, water rates, and fee structures. The commission evaluates staff recommendations based on a rates analysis to ensure the recommendations meet town policies and bond covenants. Next slide. So the water rates analysis goals are to develop water rates that generate sufficient revenue to meet the revenue and cash reserve requirements, meet the debt service coverage requirements, ensure revenue stability, maintain the overall financial health of the utility, and also to promote water conservation, be the minimum necessary to avoid rate shock, and adapt to changing rate drivers and consumer trends. Next slide. So the assumptions that we use are consistent with the general fund. For personnel costs, increases to ASRS, the retirement contributions are 2% annually. The increases to health care are 0.5% annually. The inflation rates are projected at 2% annually. The single family residential growth rates are 1,123 over the 5-year projection period. Our new development impact fees will be implemented on July 1st of 2021. And interest income rate is projected at 1.5% annually over the 5 years. And then Peter will go through the water rate assumptions, water fund assumptions.
So those assumptions that are specific to the water utility, so personnel costs, no new employees are added during the 5-year projection period. We will be seeing increases in CAP water delivery and wheeling costs. So the increased delivery costs of CAP here again, as Chair McMillan mentioned, is this tier one shortage. We have every expectation, and we're planning for not just water resources wise, but we're planning for financially. We're anticipating that CAP will declare a tier one shortage in fiscal year 2022-23. Now, while that does not affect our delivery allocation because we're a higher priority CAP user, what it will do is it will increase the costs for us to take delivery of that water, because CAP will have all the similar fixed costs as they've always had, but fewer customers to share those costs. For example, during a tier one shortage, we lose a lot of the agriculture users. So we're expecting a significant increase in CAP wheeling costs in fiscal year 22-23. Increasing wheeling costs of CAP water over the 5-year projection period. Now, what that is, wheeling costs, that is where we utilize Tucson Water's capital infrastructure to take delivery of our a portion of our CAP allocation. We're planning on, approximately a 4% increase from Tucson Water every year over the 5-year projection period. Increasing reclaimed water delivery costs. Similar to what we did last year, where we developed a reclaimed cost recovery model. Tucson Water recently did that. And what came out of their model was that they weren't charging their customers enough for reclaimed water. So we're going to be seeing, I'm going to use the term like a true up cost. Basically, they're playing catch up. We're seeing this kind of this big jump in reclaim costs, and then it should levelize to a more typical, 1-3% per year increase. So, those were two pretty big hits that are really driving the need for a rate increase. Also, new debt financing, part of the five-year proforma, is we're projecting to take on a new debt to complete our NWRRDS project in fiscal year 22-23. Now, these words I just talked about now, we're going to dive into the numbers in February, but this is just setting us up for those numbers. So we'll go over this again. Next slide, please. So the finance subcommittee consensus, what we finalized, the preferred financial scenario, as subcommittee chair Merrick had mentioned, rate increases are going to be recommended for the potable water monthly base rate, as well as the commodity rate, tiers 1 through 4. And we're going to dive a little deeper into that next month, the reason why. You know, in the previous 2 years, we went with base rate only increases, and that was really to achieve some revenue stability that we needed because of the increasing costs we saw in municipal water works. We've achieved that goal, so now we're starting to transition away from base rate only to base rate and commodity, and that's really to take away the burden, the larger percentage of the burden from the lower end water users compared to the folks that consume more water or they're in the higher tiers. So kind of we're switching to a little more balance between base rate and commodity. Also an increase in the reclaimed water commodity rate. Like I said, this is not due to, personnel costs, internal to the water utility. This is really to recover a pass-through cost that the water utility has seen from Tucson Water. No change is recommended for the construction commodity rate. It's already very high, and we cover the cost of that service. Nor are we looking for a change in the potable groundwater preservation fee or the reclaimed water groundwater preservation fee. Nor are we looking for an increase in the reclaimed base rates. Again, we'll get into the actual numbers in February. Next slide, please. So what does the schedule look like? In February, we're going to revisit this again. It'll probably take up most of our commission time together, and we'll be going to the commission looking for a recommendation on those rates. In March 3rd, we're going to go to town council where we adopt the notice of intent to increase rates. There's no real discussion there. It's a formal process where we start the advertising process that we're going to intend to raise rates. The next day, we'll publish the hearing date on the town's website, and there's certain Arizona revised statutes that we have to follow with respect to minimum day notices, and we're going to make sure we meet all those. We're also going to publish the notice of intent in the newspaper. On June 2nd, we're slated to have our public hearing, and that's it with town council to adopt the proposed rates. If it's passed, the new rates become effective 30 days after adoption, and we would anticipate billing new rates beginning August 1st. And I think that's my last slide. Next slide. There we go. With that, I'd be happy to answer any high-level questions with respect to what Mary and I just discussed. Thank you.
Any comments, questions, Peter?
I have a question.
Commissioner Reynolds.
The note that there's no personnel, no additional personnel added for the next 5 years. With the NRD or Northwest Recharge, you know the one I'm talking about, the acronym I'm talking about.
Yes.
With that coming online, is there going to be a need for additional operators, additional maintenance personnel that we should start planning for now?
A great question. So, and we've asked ourselves this question as well. We recently, our longstanding water operations manager retired in September. We've hired a new water operations manager. His name's David Allred, very seasoned. He comes to us from the greater Phoenix area. He sees a lot of opportunities or he sees opportunities to improve our efficiency of our water operations group at this time. And through the utilization of technology, and he has some ideas that he's implementing and testing right now to improve efficiency. We think we can take on the operations and maintenance of these assets without adding staff at this time. But it's something we are looking at, because what is NWRRDS? What is it for us? It's three new booster stations and two new reservoirs that have to be maintained, and the 10 miles of distribution of transmission main. The transmission main, you know, probably isn't so much of a maintenance. Well, yeah, it has its components, but it would be mostly the three booster stations and the two reservoirs. But at this time, we think we have enough room to improve our operation that we won't have to. But if we do, we'll if we do feel we have the need, we'll adjust for that.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, any other comments, questions? All right. Thank you very much, Peter and Mary, for that update. We'll look forward to hearing from you in February. Okay, let's move to agenda item 8, which is review, discussion, and possible action regarding Mayor and Council Water Policy A2A3. And Peter's going to talk about that.
Thank you, Chair McMillan. So next slide, please. So Mayor and Council Water Policy, this is what we're going to talk about. And it's specific to one part of the policy. So just first, very high level, we'll discuss the purpose of water policies, discuss the purpose for this policy's review. We'll review the policy. And what it really comes down to is discussing the adequacy of the existing policy and a policy recommendation to council, change or no change. Next slide, please. So, you know, why do we have policies? You know, mayor and council policies, they're principles. They provide direction and they help guide staff to ensure the financial health of the utility, as well as the future availability and delivery of quality water through the responsible management of our resources, both financial and water resources. So they're guiding documents. They kind of set, you know, the bumpers where the curbs are, and provide us with direction. During last year's water rate presentation, council had questions with respect to the policies that govern the setting of the reclaimed rate, and staff was asked to review the policy to ensure it was still relevant and applicable. And that was the portion of the body of work that the finance subcommittee did, and we're reporting to the commission body tonight. Next slide, please. So what is the policy? A-2A3. So if we go down to A-2A3, so this is important. The substitution of reclaimed water for non-potable uses is an important element in future achievement of safe yield in the Tucson Active Management Area. That's what TAMA stands for. Basically, our aquifer. Rate setting for reclaimed water shall be in accordance with the following precepts. Charges for reclaimed water shall be based on the cost of service whenever possible. To the extent that charges for reclaimed water based on cost of service do not provide adequate price and incentive. And I have some windows in the way here that I can't. Let me see if I can close. Well, I don't know. Price incentive, something. Price of reclaimed water shall be based on the market value, which encourages its use. And C, the commission shall review and make recommendations, and the mayor and council shall hold duly. And I'm sorry, I can't see the whole document. Mary, can you see what it says after duly?
You want me to read the last?
Yeah, yes, please.
The commission shall review and make recommendations, and the mayor and council shall hold a duly advertised public hearing prior to entering into any agreement to sell reclaimed water to any customer at a rate other than that rate established by resolution.
Okay, thank you. Next slide, please. So the current reclaim rate and rate setting methodology, so one of the things is, and this is, was a big portion of the work we did last year, was develop in years past, the genesis of the reclaimed rate started out as the cost of reclaimed water was the same as the cost of potable water. But this goes back to 2005. As potable water rates increased, the reclaim rate just lagged behind. And I it's not clear to me what that methodology was that set that, but nonetheless, it became incentivized over time by just being less than the potable rate. I like having methodologies that are reproducible, that we can explain to people, folks can look at it and they understand what we've done. And we did that. We developed a methodology. We developed a rate setting model for reclaimed water. And we had a consultant help us do it, a third party come. We did most of the work. We had someone else come in and look at what we did, and they had some good comments and suggestions. Anyways, we've developed a model, and it's a great model because at this time, we recover the costs for providing reclaimed water in the areas of personnel and O&M. So the reclaimed customer pays for that cost of service for those components. Now, here's where the policy comes in, is reclaimed water customers, they only pay 21% of the original debt service that was taken on to build the reclaim system. And the reason that is if the reclaimed customer were to pay 100% of that debt service, reclaimed water would cost more than potable water. So here's where the policy comes in. It gives us some flexibility to do rate setting so we can incentivize reclaimed water. When what we realized was that the water policy A2A3, it provides the necessary flexibility for staff to incentivize the use of reclaimed water for the benefit of all water customers. As at the very beginning of the precept, it's desirable for potable water customers to have customers that can use reclaimed water to use it, because we preserve and protect those potable supplies for potable uses. With respect to reclaimed water, that's 2,000 acre feet a year. That's a big deal. So at the end of the day, the staff recommended leaving the water policy A2A3 unchanged. It gives us the flexibility to incentivize reclaimed water so that people will use it. And we want people to use it. It preserves and protects those potable supplies for potable uses. The finance subcommittee recommendation was no change. Next slide, please. So with that, we'd like to have some discussion.
Okay, does anybody have any comments, questions on that for Peter?
I have a question, Peter. The current reclaimed water usage, I'm sure, has been affected by the fate of some of the golf courses in Oro Valley. Are we currently using our entire allotment of reclaimed water, or are we not?
Excellent question, Commissioner Reynolds. And we're going to, my water resources report this month will touch on that. To answer your question, yes, we currently are using all of our reclaimed entitlement. Even though we've lost 18 holes of golf, also what's happened is, you know, our reclaimed entitlement is directly proportional to our consumption of potable supplies. And overall, we've had a downward trend of water consumption. So yes, we are using all of our entitlement. Now, part of our IGA with the city and the county is once we use up all of our entitlement, we pay like an environmental rate. We buy basically reclaimed water from the city. But yeah, right now we do use all of our entitlement. I think last year, I think last year we had to buy between 1 and 200 acre feet. So maybe we went 10% over our entitlement. But we currently do use all of our reclaimed entitlement.
Thank you. So,
any other comments, questions for Peter? Okay, hearing none. So the recommendation by the Finance Subcommittee is no change on the water policy, and Water Utility is also recommending no change. So let's have a roll call vote on no change to the water policy.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. Do we have a motion and a second?
Okay. Do we have a motion?
I'll move that we recommend leaving the policy unchanged.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Mielke and a second by Commissioner Hurt to recommend to the Town Council no change in the policy. Now, can we have a roll call vote?
Commissioner Hitt?
Yes.
Commissioner Hollingsworth?
Yes.
Commissioner Hurt?
Yes.
Commissioner Merrick?
Yes.
Commissioner Mielke?
Yes.
Vice Chair Reynolds?
Yes.
Chair McMillan?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Thank you very much. All right, with that, let's move on to agenda item number 9, which is council liaison comments from Councilmember Bowen.
Thank you very much. The most recent council meeting which was held was on January 6th. I think of interest to this commission was a general plan amendment was discussed and voted upon for the Kai properties at the intersection of First and Tangerine. That amendment lost by a vote of 3-4. Other news is the Nakoma Sky project has just announced that it's restarting. That's on First Avenue. I think everyone's familiar with it. So that will certainly have an impact on our water demand. And finally, there is a Type 2 general plan amendment this year for the annexation of the Westward Look Resort. That right now is in planning and zoning. It has one more planning and zoning meeting for February, and it will be heard by Town Council on in early March. I think it's the 2nd or the 3rd. But anyway, with respect to water demand, that's certainly another new source of water demand for Oral Valley, which we may see in the future. So thank you very much, Chair Hurt, and that's my report.
Okay, thank you very much, Councilmember Bowen. We already covered our Finance Subcommittee report. So for water resources, I'll just reiterate what we've already heard, and that is I think Peter is anticipating our next Water Resources and Conservation Subcommittee meeting probably sometime in March, at which time probably start a discussion on a possible IPA change with Marana and Metro Water and inform the committee of what's going on with that. And then there may be a possible opportunity to also discuss the development of a white paper on a tier one water shortage paper for informing the public on how the water utility is prepared for that. So Peter will, I'm sure, let us know probably sometime soon a date on possible water utility subcommittee meeting for water resources. That's all I had on that. Any other comments, questions on that? Okay. We'll move to agenda item number 11, financial report by Mary.
Thank you, Chair McMillan. This is a financial update for the current fiscal year 2020-21 through December of 2020, half year through the fiscal year. Next slide. So starting with revenues, the potable water sales actuals through December are 7 million, and we're projecting to exceed budget by 983,000. Reclaimed water sales are at 901,000 and are projected to exceed budget by 121,000. Groundwater preservation fees are at 1.5 million and are projected to exceed budget by 94,000. Service fees are at 382,000 and are projected to be under budget by 100,000 due to the suspension of our shutoffs and late fees due to COVID. Total revenues at December 2020 is 10.3 million. And we're projecting to be over exceeding budget by 1.1, primarily due to the increased water usage due to the hot and dry weather conditions this past year. Next slide. For expenses, personnel is at 1.5 million, and we're projecting to be below budget due to vacancy savings. Operations and maintenance is at 3.7 million, and we're projecting to be at or slightly below budget. Capital, right now we're at 672,000, and there's some outstanding invoices that haven't hit yet, but we're projecting to be meeting the 2.7 million by the end of the year. Debt service, we're at budget at 4.8 million. So total expenses at December is 10.7 million. And we're expecting at the end of the fiscal year to be at or slightly below budget for expenses. Next slide. New meters installed through December, 243. Our customer base is at 20,704. Water audits performed, 29. WaterSmart registered accounts is at 6,049. Next slide. And thank you.
Short and sweet. Do we have any comments, questions for Mary? Okay. Thank you very much, Mary.
Thank you.
We'll move on to our next agenda item, Water Resource Usage Report and Director's Report. Peter.
There we go. Thank you, Chair McMillan. Next slide, please. I'm going to have to move this up. Oh, there we go. Okay. Ah, now I can see everything. So what we're looking at here is we're going to look at two service areas, our main Oro Valley service area and our countryside service area. This is just our Oro Valley service area. And we're looking at our utilization of groundwater, reclaimed water, and CAP water. And this is from 1999 through the year 2020. So we have a whole year of data in 2020. The red line represents the groundwater target maximum that was established in that 2007 groundwater study that Commissioner Mielke had referenced. So just for Commissioner Hitt and Council Member Bowen, you know, up until, 2006, the utility was solely dependent on utilizing groundwater to meet its water resource needs. You can see we were, approaching 10,000 acre feet a year in the Oro Valley service area. That's a completely unsustainable amount of water to depend on the aquifer for. We were seeing declines in our wells of, high single digit to low double digit numbers, 8, 10, 12 feet declines a year, completely unsustainable. In 2006, we began delivering reclaimed water And then in 2012, we began delivering a portion of our CAP allocation. And of course, you can see it, every acre foot of CAP water and reclaimed water was an acre foot less of groundwater. Since 2012, we've added additional interconnects to receive additional CAP water. In 2012, we were bringing in roughly 1,500 acre feet a year. Now we're bringing in about 2,500 acre feet a year. So you can see the numbers down below. You can see the reclaim production, CAP production, and groundwater production. So looking at 2020, we saw, obviously it's upticked. You know, 2018 and 2019 were wonderful years from a hydrology perspective. Relatively wet falls, winters, and springs. So our demand dropped. And our demand is correlated exactly to that of the temperature or how many days of intense heat. As we know, 2020 was a hot year for us. We didn't get the rainfall we normally get. And in addition to the whole COVID pandemic thing, we saw when people stayed home, they consumed more water. So that further increase the demand on the water system. So for 2020, our reclaimed production, it was up. There was more irrigation going on. Our CAP production, we base load our CAP deliveries 24/7. It's a constant rate. We don't have any peaking factor or peaking capability with CAP water. We base load our system. So those numbers are pretty steady. And if you see a jump up from year to year, that was when we added another interconnect to receive additional recovered CAP water. And of course, makes up the rest of what's necessary to meet demand is groundwater. So definitely an uptick from 2018 and 2019. But less than 2017. Next slide, please. So this is Countryside. This is our isolated service area. That's to the southwest of us. It's about 1 square mile. And we don't have any reclaimed deliveries there, just groundwater and CAP water. And here again, just mirroring what the Oro Valley system does. It's higher in 2020 than it was in 2018 and 2019. You can see our CAP production was a little off. Tucson Water had some problems with their infrastructure, and we had to stop taking deliveries at Countryside for about 4 weeks. So that's why you're seeing 151 acre feet a year, not the 181. And the groundwater just makes up the rest. We're about 70 acre feet higher than we were in 2019. Next slide, please. That concludes water resources. Next slide, please. So some special announcements. Water utility, we had three main breaks in December, like literally in different parts of our system. I haven't seen that happen since I've been here, but all the mains were repaired and service was restored the same day. On a great note here, the Pima County Department of Environmental Quality, they conducted their triennial sanitary survey, and that's every 3 years. They do a sanitary survey on our production and distribution infrastructure. No violations were noted, and the utility received a letter of compliance. And what's really awesome was the inspector gave us written praise on the utility's infrastructure, that it was in an excellent state of operation and maintenance. So that's something we're real proud of. Also, a new water welcome guide. It's on the website and in our office. It's online, and it has tips on water conservation, how to read your water meter and your bill. So look for it under the water utility page under special announcements. And I think next slide, please. So upcoming meetings, January 20th, Town Council regular session. That's a Zoom meeting at 6 o'clock. Again, February 3rd, Town Council regular session. And then February 8th, our next Water Utility Commission meeting. And we can expect that to be a Zoom meeting. And we're going to dive pretty deep into water rates. So that'll be exciting. I think that concludes my report. Next slide, please. It certainly does. Thank you very much, Chair McMillan.
Thank you, Peter, and congratulations on that excellent sanitary surveying. I know from past experience of being on the other side of conducting those that it's a thorough strip search, and it's very difficult not to find something wrong with the system. So you must be doing a lot of things right. Okay, so we'll move on to our next call to audience. Have we had any audience members join us?
No, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you, Daniel. So with that, it brings us to future agenda items. Do we have any future agenda items that anybody would like to see on our next meeting? Okay, hearing none, we'll move to adjournment. Do I have a motion on adjournment?
I'll move adjournment.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Who was that?
That was me. Great.
Second.
Okay, Commissioner Hurt moved. We adjourn. Commissioner Hitt seconded. We'll have a roll call vote.
Commissioner Hitt?
Yes.
Commissioner Hollingsworth?
Yes.
Commissioner Hurt?
Yes.
Commissioner Merritt?
Yes.
Commissioner Milkey?
Yes.
Vice Chair Reynolds?
Yes.
Chair McMillan?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you much, everyone.